For someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
Let's read from verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Hamorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." 12 leaders sent to spy out the land of promise, and they broke into two camps. Now I want to say, in every instance, we'll always break into those two categories. And tonight I want you to locate yourself. You had, first of all, the losers' assembly. The Losers Christian Center. That was a congregation on its own, with 10 powerful pastors there. Then you had the other one, the Winners Congregation. Just 2 leaders there. We will always break into those two camps. But first, let's speak out this losers company. They said, "The land that you sent us to see, it's a good land. The way you said it is the way it is. It's a land that flows with milk and honey." But that was where it ended, on the positive note. Okay? The members of the losers' congregation, usually they are people who have what I call mental assent. If you try a little bit, you'll be able to persuade them to agree that life could be better. You'll be able to persuade them to agree that it is possible to be rich. It is possible to be blessed. It is possible. However, that's where it ends. They believe it's possible for some other people, but not for them. They said the land truly flows with milk and honey. In fact, we brought some fruit to show you. They have other people's testimonies to share. It's just that they find it difficult to connect with those testimonies and to see how those things could be fulfilled in their own lives. Now, they told Moses, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless," you see, every time you are going on the positive note and you put the word "but," you've punctured your balloon of faith. You're on your way down. They said, "But it's good. But we've said that so many times. We've had people say that over and over again. Well, it's possible. But once you put that "but," that's the end of the road." They said, Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. What were they trying to tell Moses? It's too much for us. We can't make it. We can't do it. The situation is overwhelming. See the way they describe it in verse 29. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, Jebusites, Hamorites dwell in the mountains. Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the coast of the sea. What were they trying to say? There are obstacles to the right, obstacles to the left, obstacles in front, obstacles behind. Everywhere they look, they see problems. That's another major characteristic of members of losers' congregation. They see the problem. They never see the solution. And they always perceive situations as being overwhelming. No, there are problems here, problems there. Instead of finding just one reason why it will work out, they will give you 100 why it will not work out. And you know the reason why they find such excuses is because that's what they are looking for. Because what you look for is what you find. If you don't know what you are looking for, by the time you find it, you won't recognize it. The reason why they recognize the problems is because that's what they are looking out for. Watch out of such people around your life. You're sharing your vision and your dreams with them. And the first thing they give you are 10 reasons why it may not work out. Move away from them. They are not going to Canaan. They are not traveling on the same road. Verse 30, one man chose to be different. Caleb told the people, keep quiet. And he said, let us go up at once and take possession. We are well able to overcome it. I'm still coming back to him. Verse 31, members of the losers' congregation said, no way. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Help me to tell your neighbor, don't be small in your own eyes. You see, whatever you cannot overcome on the inside, you won't overcome on the outside. For as long as you perceive that this financial situation, that the economic situation in the country is overwhelming, it's too much for you to handle, you just won't be able to handle it. Yeah, these people are stronger than we are. Some people insist that they are cursed and they are born again Christians. They insist that it is generational curses that are giving them problems. And I say, no, it is not generational curse that's the problem. It is generational ignorance. There is nobody's situation today that will nullify the word of God. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us, not will redeem us. It doesn't say Christ is able to redeem. No, he says Christ hath, past tense. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might rest upon the Gentiles, that they might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ hath. When did he redeem us? 2,000 years ago. Listen, if the death of Jesus on the cross could be reversed, that's the only way my redemption could be reversed. That's the only way my redemption could be reversed. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free. Past tense again. Has made us free from the law of sin and death. If I was free, then I am free. If I was free, then I am free. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall do what? Set you free. Unfortunately, instead of simply believing the truth, the average person believes we must sweat and toil before we can be free. That's our big problem. Complex thinking. Complex thinking. Jesus said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Not if you will shout. Not if you will somersault. And do spiritual gymnastics. If thou wouldest believe. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Not them that shout in prayer. Them that believe. According to your faith, so be it unto you. So for as long as you believe that you are cursed, you are cursed. That's why the same set of people we lay hands on and they vomit saliva. They will keep vomiting saliva 5 years until the day they accept the truth. You shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. It's not shouting that makes you free. It's what? The truth. The truth that you know sets you free. The only answer to darkness is light. It's not struggling. Light. I'm very young, but in the few years I've spent on this heart, if power is flowing through electric cables, I have never put on a switch and had to pray and bind the devil before the light came on. I've never seen light struggling with darkness. Where light will push the darkness, and the darkness will push the light. And the light will push the darkness, and the darkness will push the light. And I will say, no, in the name of Jesus, this darkness you must go. This darkness you must go. In the name of, I bind you, I rebuke you, I root you out, I pluck you down, I cast you down. In the name of Jesus, I grind you to powder. All principalities and powers who don't want this light to come, I bind you in Jesus' name. I've never had to bind it. If natural light is powerful enough to handle natural darkness, spiritual light can handle spiritual darkness. It can. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's where it is. Said they are stronger than we. The way Christians talk about demons sometimes. Say it's witches. I thank God that Victor told us on Thursday that witches are on the lowest rung of the ladder in the kingdom of darkness. And it is those witches that are harassing Christians. If you have to go to a prophet to tell to look for the origin of your problem, there's something wrong. The origin is here. You don't need to go and bath near Atlantic Ocean. It's here. Listen, when they tell you it is your mother's rival, that is wasting time. You are just talking of the person the devil is using. In fact, they will help you to make enemies and distract you. And for as long as you can't locate your enemy, you will soon die. Because you will be shooting your bullets in the wrong direction. And the devil will take advantage of it. The real enemy is the devil. Principalities and powers. And they have not yet found an answer to the word. You can't manipulate or intimidate or dominate someone who has discovered the truth. You can't. You can't pull the wool over the eyes of someone who has found the truth out. Don't be small in your own. They said, the people are stronger than we. Verse 32. But the men who had gone up, verse 32, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Nonsense. The devil is not as big as he pretends to be. He's a finished foe. 2,000 years ago, he was paralyzed. All the joints of his body were removed, dislocated. He was knocked out and knocked down on our behalf. And now we just have to come and administer the victory that God gave us. Amen. Verse 33, there we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. What a big mistake. But what the way they said it, they were very, very deliberate about what they said. They said we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. You see, the way you see yourself is the way the devil will see you. What you call yourself is what they will call you. One Yoruba proverb says, whatever you call your wares, what you are selling, whatever you call it is where everybody will call it for you. Hey, I'm, you know, when you are talking and you are referring to yourself, and say, I just said to myself, this poor boy, we the masses, what are they doing about us, the masses? They're just cheating us, the masses. We, the common man of this country. Whatever you call yourself is what the devil will call you. We were like grasshoppers in their... Now, grasshoppers don't take giant leaps. They hop. Grasshoppers don't take giant leaps. They take grasshopper leaps. And grasshopper leap isn't much. Hallelujah. How can you see them as giants and see yourself as a grasshopper? They were small in their own eyes. This is my challenge tonight. You are capable of more than you think you are capable of. God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10:34. Have you noticed that those who go around town, who are blessed, who are successful, don't have two heads? The earlier you tell yourself, I can make it, the better. That's when the journey begins. That's when the journey begins. I thank God for the privilege of walking around great people and great men. I thank God for the privilege. Don't be intimidated and overwhelmed by other people's successes. Be challenged and inspired. There's no point opening your mouth. Hey. And we have all kinds of proverbs for excusing their success. God just helped him to do it. That's all. God can help you too. In fact, God will help you too. In fact, the fact that God did it for that person is proof that God is just about to do your own. God is no respecter of persons. So we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Don't ever measure yourself against other people or against your situation and circumstances. Measure God against those circumstances. Measure God against those circumstances. A young boy, young school athlete, I love that illustration. I've used it over and over. I keep on using it. Some young athletes were practicing high jump in school. And the coach was raising the height gradually. And somewhere along the line, one of the young athletes had a problem. He would run towards the height. And when it was time for him to jump, he would hesitate. I did that when I was in school. Run, and then go back. In fact, sometimes I'll go near the thing and use it to measure my height. I should be able to go over this thing. I went back again. Run, and then hesitate. You know that's how some people live their lives. They almost break through. Almost break through. Almost breakthrough. Almost go over. Tonight, almost is finished. You will go over. The young boy now turned to the coach and said, "Coach, I believe I can go over that thing. How do I go over that thing?" The coach looked at him and said, "Son, when you get there, throw your heart over the bar and your body will follow it." And coach was teaching this young man a lesson. If you can't go over it inside, you won't go over it outside. Whatever is too big for you to handle on the inside, you won't be able to handle on the outside. They say 1 billion, and you say, yay. Yay. Hey, until it becomes normal in your mind, it can't become normal in your hand. Yay. God knows some people. If he gives them, if they see 1 million naira cash, they will faint. Yeah. Oh, there's a funny cartoonist in Punch. And some time ago, he did this cartoon. And he was using it to tease armed robbers. And do the cartoon of armed robbers that went to steal money. They went into a bank. But when the armed robber saw the money, the armed robber fainted. He had never seen that amount of money before in his life. That's a very good one. Let him faint till they come and carry him the next day. All right? If you can't handle it inside, if it still overwhelms you, if it still looks like those who have it live in another world, you are still far from it. We are not grasshoppers. Help me to tell your neighbor, don't be small in your own eyes. The greater one lives on the inside of you. Help me to tell the person, you can make it. If anybody ever made it before, you can make it. Amen. The reason why some people struggle perpetually is because in their minds they just can never break free from that stronghold of being strugglers. We're still looking for it. We're still looking for it.
We're still looking for it. We're still looking for as long as in your mind you are still looking for it, you won't get it. You've not gotten this inside, you want to get it outside. No. But if you understand the word of God enough, you will know you found it. You got it. Before you were born, you got it. Jesus got it on your behalf. 2,000 years ago. If you were supposed to struggle to get it, Jesus didn't have to die. But for your sake, he became poor. Though he was rich, he became poor. So that you might be rich. Let's check on the other church. Amen. Which I belong to. I don't know about you. Amen. Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Let us go up at once. Whatever you are planning to do, do it now. There are people. This time last year, they were planning to. This is 2000 AD. They were saying in the new millennium, year Y2K, in the new millennium, what I will do. Now, year Y2K, it's going. Today is November 26. They are still planning to. One Yoruba proverb says, if you use 3 years to prepare for madness, when will you begin to bite trees? Of what use is aim when you don't know when to pull the trigger? The way some people live their lives, they're like hunters. See, ready? Aim. 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 Ah. If I shoot that thing, my breakthrough, too bad, aim. The thing has gone. The thing has gone. Aim. Of what use is aim if you don't know when to pull the trigger? That's why they say strike while the iron is gone. The day is going. The years are rolling by. Hey, whatever you were planning to do in the future, do it now. This is the future you talked about. Eh? Today is the tomorrow you spoke about yesterday. Yesterday you were saying tomorrow. Tomorrow. In the future. Tomorrow. Tomorrow is not far away. You know what confuses people? By the time tomorrow arrives, its name is not tomorrow. You call it what? Today. So whatever you are planning to do tomorrow, you better start today. Hallelujah. Strike while the iron is hot. Take a bold step. Take a giant step. The more, the greater the risk you take, the greater the rewards, the greater the results. Start. Start out. Don't let the devil persuade you that you don't have what it takes. It's a lie of the devil. God will never give you dreams if he's never given, put the capacity in you to achieve those dreams. Take a bold step. Take a giant step. Dare something you have never dared before within the context of the vision that God has shown you. The moment God said it to you or showed you, the thing was created in the realm of the spirit, waiting for the day you'll be bold enough to dare it. Dare it. Launch out into the deep. Break free from the mentality of failure. You tried before. It did not work out. So what? You are closer now to the result than when you started. Have a positive attitude towards failure. I've told people, if you have your library of success, you have books on success, but you don't have a book on failure there, your library of success is not complete, because success grows out of failure. You've got to know how to handle failure before you can succeed. I know failure is not sweet. I know failure is not good. I know the feeling of rejection that it brings is not good. But still, understand that success grows out of failure. I have a lot of respect for people who try. Usually I meet people who have tried once or tried twice and maybe it did not work out. I give them a whole lot of encouragement. They are a whole lot better than the people who are sitting there. Academic successful people. People who are successful theoretically. Sitting down and succeeding on paper.
I respect those who have tried.
Amen.
Because they are closer to the results than the person who is still sitting down.
You've got to take a jump. When God speaks to you, it's not a leap into the dark. It's a leap into light. If it is God that said it, it's not the man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent.
There's a venture to faith. We sing in the church,
Abraham's blessings are mine. Hallelujah. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning, blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. And then we squeeze some funny naira notes. Fold our hands, the thing disappears into the hand. Drop it deep into the offering bucket. And I say, Abraham didn't get this thing like this. God said to Abraham, get out of your country and go to a land I will show you. The man took a bold risk. Let go of the present to be able to lay hold on the future. And someone thinks just by dancing in the church that they can get it. You've got to let go. Let go of yesterday. Take a bold step into the future. You walk into the unknown. But what makes it secure is that God already spoke about you. Take a bold step. Dare something big. Dare something big. Amen. There, in the next 1 year, you will become the kind of a person you have never been. You will dare things you have never dared before. You will get results you have never gotten before. If you believe that with me, say amen. Amen. You remember what I say all the time? Bite more than you can chew. They say, don't bite more than you can chew. I say, who says so? Bite more than you can chew. And God will help you to chew it. For as long as you know there are heights they can raise for you. And you don't even need to jump. And some of us feel comfortable with so small levels of success. Non-threatening levels of success. Small amounts of money, small amounts of business, small amount, so that there isn't any big risk. Well, big risk, big result. Small risk, small results. Listen, the story is written in the Bible. Great stories. David and Goliath. Why were they recorded there? Because they're inspiring. They are inspiring. People daring big things, physically impossible things. That's why they are written. If they were commonplace achievements, who would be reading such stories today? Amen. You are going to dare something you have never dared before. Goliath is about to come down. In the mighty name of Jesus. We are well able. I read a book in 1989. Written by the pastor of the largest church in the world. Wow. By the time I was through, I stood up and told myself, I can pastor the largest church in the world. That was when things began to move forward. I told myself, I'm not a local champion. I'm a world champion. Well, that's where it starts. Some people were wondering what I was talking about. Because then I did not look like a champion at all. Not to talk of a local one. I did not look like a champion at all. Okay, please take note. The one major difference between the winners and the losers is what they say. What they say. You'll never rise above the level of your confession. Some said they are grasshoppers. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. They are stronger than we. For as long as you say that, that situation will always overwhelm you. But here is one man who stands up and says, we are well able. Let us go up at once. He said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Well, in Numbers chapter 14, the Bible says, when these people had spoken, the leadership, all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, all night weeping, by the congregation of losers. In verse 2, it says, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Oh, there. They decided we need a senior pastor, general overseer, to lead this losers congregation back to where we are coming from. May God never allow me to pastor such a church. The church of people who are going backwards when everybody else is supposed to be moving forward. He said, let's go back. And you know, that's how most people perceive the present and the future has been overwhelming. And they begin to relish the past. In the good old days. And Nigerians are fond of saying that. In the good old days. In the good old days. What about these days? Who believe that everything was overwhelming and difficult? There are good. Hey, have you noticed? Nigeria has produced more millionaires now than we did in the 80s and in the 70s. There are people who could not afford land 20 years ago. They are buying now. When it was 20,000 per plot on Ale, they couldn't afford. Now that it is 3 million or 4 million, they are buying it. It depends on how you see it. Since God did not arrange for you to be around in the good old days, shut up. And live in the good new days. Ecclesiastes 7:10 says, say ye not, why are the former days better than these? It says, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Say, stop saying, why are the former days better than these? There are better days ahead. I said there are. Listen, Nigeria has not seen a prosperous generation like this one. If they are looking for prosperous people, let them come around here. They've never seen a prosperous generation like this one. It depends on how you see it. They said, let's go back to Egypt. Egypt, where they were living in Ajegunle. They were sleeping in slums. Egypt, where they were slaves. Egypt, where the taskmaster held the whip over their backs and beat them just because they were afraid of confronting challenges. They preferred to go back to the security of slavery. What's good about slavery? What? Hey. A man of God by the name Sweet Wigglesworth said, I would rather die in faith than live in doubt. No. I can't live an anointing. I can't live life less than what it was designed to be. I cannot. I've got to get the best that God has to offer. I've got to get the best that God has to offer. He said, let us go back to Egypt. Are you still living in yesterday? Some people are driving. They want to drive into the future, but they keep looking into the rear view mirror. Have you ever seen anybody driving on Lagos Ibadan Expressway? 100 kilometers per hour. But instead of looking straight, he's looking into the rear view mirror. That is an accident going somewhere to happen. Help me to tell your neighbor, stop looking back. The past is past. Amen. That's why they call it the past. It's gone. It's a spent check. Let's go of the past and lay hold on the future. Make the best of today. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Say, Pastor, in the days when I used to have money, shut up. Money is coming back. Hallelujah. In those days when we used to, what are you doing now? What are you doing now? There are miracles around. New things are happening. Let us go up at once. Let us go up at once. Now the Bible says in verse 6, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Get ready. Your success will intimidate some people.
Your success will expose the failures of other people.
Get ready. When you begin to talk about your dreams, talk about the great things you're about to accomplish, some people around you will become uncomfortable. They'll become insecure. Because if you dare achieve those things you're saying you're going to achieve, it's going to make it apparent to everybody else that they're not making progress. Joseph said, I have a dream. Some people got angry. Instead of saying, God, who gave Joseph a dream? Give me my own. No. They decided to kill his own. I have a dream. They got angry. They were threatened. Because this guy was the 11th son. If it is true that he will achieve this dream, then it means the guy is going to be greater than all of us. And even though we are older than him, it will make it look as if we are failures. Let's kill him. But you can't kill a man who has dreams. Especially dreams from God. Because God is not the man that he should lie. Nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he's going to do it. Get ready. He says, stone them. But hear what these young men are saying. They said, their defense has departed from them. You know what God could have done? God could have simply killed all the giants and allowed Israel to walk in free of charge. You know, that's the kind of breakthrough that most people in church today want. Anointing service. He said, that's right. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I receive it. I receive it. Hallelujah. I'm anointed. So what's the next thing now? Breakthrough. They have laid hands on me. They have laid legs on me. So breakthrough. That's the next thing. Listen to me. You can't stroll to a goal. And you can't be fulfilled with that kind of success. Victory is no victory where there are no battles. God told Israel, I finished those giants on your behalf. Yet, when they got there, they saw giants. It made it seem as if God was lying. But God was not lying. Spiritually, the giants were finished. But physically, God left the giants there. So that his sons could also savour the victory. Have a feeling of fighting and winning. That's why. So the giants are not signposts to your funeral. The giants are simply signposts welcoming you to the land flowing with milk and honey. Have you ever wondered about it? One will chase 1,000. And two, what? How easy is that? Even if you are Superman, even if you are Bruce Lee, and you know all the karate chops, and you can spin in the air and clear three people at the same time with your. But when there are 1,000, it's not a joke. Ah, my brother, 1,000. Then he says, 2, 10,000. That means 5,000 apiece. You know why? Caleb said, their defense has departed from them. Something has happened spiritually. So they can't handle us. So I believe that the way those Israelites were fighting, if they carried their sword, you see, we, 200 will just fall down. So that's right. We, 150. 50. We, that's the only way it could have happened. For you to kill that many people in a single battle. Listen to me. It won't be as difficult as you think it will be. There are some things have happened in the realm of the spirit on your behalf. Waiting for your action. Waiting for your action. For those things to turn loose. There. Jump up. Man of God by the name Reinhard Bonnke, who did a crusade recently, said there was a time he was in South Africa, a missionary. God gave him a vision of a blood-washed Africa. He saw millions were going to be saved. He said, but each time he organized a crusade, he had only 40 people in attendance. He said, one day he prayed and told God, Lord, You said millions of Africans will be saved. If I keep talking to only 40 people per time, you will have to bring me back when I die to continue this assignment before I can finish the whole of Africa. I need to talk to larger crowds. He said, God answered him. I said, yes. So why don't you organize a crusade? Organize a crusade in the stadium and see if I will not show up there. And that was why, for the first time, from talking to 40 people, this man took a 10,000-seater stadium, 10,000-capacity stadium, organized a crusade. And he said he began to calculate and work it out with his brain. Ayaya. We have to use wisdom. So he began to talk to churches. Please, we're doing a crusade. Give us your choir members to form a crusade choir. He said he was thinking to himself that at least if the choirs of all the churches could come, there would be some thousands. And then he was start asking for their ushers to help with the hushery. Then he requested for their counselors that by the time the choir and the ushers and the counselors from each church would gather together, at least the stadium should be a little full. Unfortunately, nobody had heard his name before. So all the churches declined. We're sorry. We may not be able to. We have another program coming up during that period. So he had to do the crusade alone. He said the first night, he had only 100 people present in this 10,000-seater auditorium. 100 people. He said, well, he stood up since he was obeying God's voice. Preached a powerful sermon. Now it was time, led them to Christ. Then it was time for baptism of the Holy Ghost. Said as if he led them, tossed them, led them, and began to pray. Said he saw a cloud rolling from one end of the stadium. And the cloud fell on the crowd of 100 people. And every single person fell under the power of God. Said by the time they stood up, there was a blind woman who was seeing. A blind woman. Her eyes were opened. They were shouting and screaming, hallelujah. Then, the second night, the crowd increased a little bit. There were more miracles. By the third night, the stadium was jammed. 10,000-seater auditorium. That's one big step he took that he will never forget for the rest of his life. Listen, prepare for breakthrough. Something is going to happen. I said, prepare for breakthrough. You know, recently, God gave me some powerful understanding. I'll be talking about it tomorrow morning. What you respect is what you attract. And the proof that you respect it is that you invest. Amen. Please welcome with me your Papa, Bishop David Oyedepo. No. All the time I was talking, some good in concentration. Let God bless you. All right. What you don't respect, you don't attract. And the proof that you respect is that you invest. So I found out that as a pastor, I want a crowd, but I don't respect the crowd. I don't respect the crowd enough to invest in the crowd. I sat in my office some time ago. A pastor said, we thank God for these beautiful handbills you make. We thank God for what God is doing. When we become big like you, we will do things like that. I said, sir, hold it. When you do things like that, you will become big like us. Turn it the other way around. We expect things to first of all happen and all the money to come before we do what we're supposed to do. No. Investment is the key to achievement. If you are really expecting a breakthrough, then invest in a breakthrough. Do something you have never done before. Then you will achieve results you have never achieved before.
Zig Ziglar said one thing.
He said, for us to do things the way we have always done them and to expect different results is one of the definitions of insanity. The way we have been doing it is the way we are doing it. And we expect different results. I quarrel and disagree with one proverb. One part of it is true, but on the other hand, it could be limited. Let us do it the way they have been doing it, so that it will be the way it has always been. I said, how has it been? With all the poverty that I met around here, let's do it in a different way. Let's do it in a different way. Hallelujah! Let's do it in a different way. Let's do it in a different way. They said, a bird in hand is worth two in the forest. I said, Habba, you will die with that one bird. There are 10,000 birds in the forest. My friend, get out, amen, and shoot your catapult and get as many birds as you want. There, go for the best. Hallelujah. Help me to tell your neighbor again, don't be small in your own eyes. I'll say it again. By this time next year, you will be shocked at the things that God would have done through your life. You will be shocked. You will be surprised. Because as you take one step, God will take the step with you. As you take a bold step, God will take bold steps towards you. In the next 1 year, rent that shop. Say, when I rent that shop. Rent that shop. And then, don't look at wealthy people go by and open your mouth. They don't have two heads. I thank God for a couple in this church. They were to open a pharmacy shop. They said, it is VI. I said, VI, go. Go to VI. They wanted to rent a shop. They didn't have anything. They said, go there. When you have finished spending your money, spend grace. Please, you have that one in abundance, manufactured by the word. Then they got there. They were to pay, was it 60,000 or 70,000 naira per month? 70 for the first month. They didn't have. Yet boldly they went there. Then the man said, okay, you go in, start your business. At the end of the first month, pay. Then at the end of the second month, pay. At the end of the first month, they looked at him. They said, excuse me, you can see the way the business went this month. There's no 70,000 anywhere. We can only give you 20,000. He said, bring it. It's okay. I can see. It's the 20,000 they've been paying now. 4 or 5 years. The question is, what if they didn't go? Then interestingly, the same family wanted to change home. They decided they were going to VI. 600 to 700,000 per annum. They began to talk to estate agents. And then you know what happened. They saw the house, no money. And interestingly, they got this house, beautiful, solid house. The man said, bring 250,000 per annum. You see, the reason why you are not catching some fish is because you are not fishing in the right waters. Dare it. Nobody will arrest you. Nobody will cut off your head. And there's nothing in, if they tell you no, there's no crime in that. But he that asketh, receiveth. You ask for small things, you receive small things. You ask for big things, somewhere along the line you will get a big thing and your life will never remain the same. They've been living in Victoria Island, 250,000 per annum. When they told them, even the 250 we don't have, the man said, okay, park inside. When you have the money, give me. They say, that's dangerous. Can you stay inside a house like that? What if they show up one night and say, get out? We'll give you, if it's 250, we'll give you. Something is about to happen to you. I'm serious. In the next 1 year, you have a powerful testimony. Tonight, we are blessed. It's a prophetic night. God has brought his prophet. And I thank God it's a Friday night. I don't know about you. Listen. It's a Saturday night. Amen. All right. I don't know about you, but the man of God's been in a program since morning. And he got through this evening. And still decided to be here. I'm not going anywhere. I will get this one. It is grace that makes great. No need for toiling. And that grace will drop here tonight in Jesus' name. Please lift your hand to the Lord for a moment. and just thank Him in expectation. Tonight is my night. Tonight, all we have said is preparation. Something is happening now. Lord, I thank You. I thank You because tonight is my night of divine encounters. Tonight is my night of supernatural breakthrough. Tonight is my night. Lord, I bless You. I thank You. I exalt You. I praise You. Tonight is my night of supernatural turnaround. If You will not touch anybody else in this service, I stand here as the candidate for supernatural breakthrough. Will you please stand to your feet with me for a moment? Hallelujah. And express, pour out your heart to the Lord.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@daystarng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregun, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.